Oh, hi. Thanks for joining me today. Can I get you a sandwich? A beverage? Relax, come on, I'm not going to hurt you.
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home.
Please don't do that.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Ooh, I do happen to like that sort
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show, apparently. That's what you clicked on, isn't it?
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much, Julie. Welcome to the program. Yeah, please make yourself comfortable. Start removing your clothing now. All right. And move your laptop, the camera, I can't see you. A little, move it to the right a little bit. Oh, yeah. Perfect. Okay. Now start removing your clothes now. Okay. Welcome to the show. I've got a very interesting fiasco for you today. My guest a little later on in the program is phenomenal. She wrote a book that has just been released, and it's about the two ends of the political spectrum trying to understand each other. Nothing is more current than this subject matter right now, which would be current. She's a Democrat and perhaps even a liberal, and she was destined to find out how far right people can be so far right and far left people can be so far left in the same country, undergoing the same problems, the same concerns, the same experiences, in the same country, and yet they are so different politically. How can two people have such incredibly different viewpoints on the same thing? That's what she set out to find out, and I would love to know the answer to that. She joins us later in the program with her new book. Now, before we get started, because we have a lot to do, there are certain rules and regulations. This is not, you can't just listen to this show and not understand what the hell's going on. John?
This is the Ron Van Dam Show. Thank you for coming. Your waiter will be along shortly. Please be advised that the Ron Van Dam Show has been designated as a non-smoking area. Please watch your step while boarding the Ron Van Dam Show, as contents may have shifted during travel. In clinical studies, the Ron Van Dam Show has not been shown to reduce cholesterol in laboratory animals. Exits are located to the rear on the left and right sides of the auditorium. The sea bass is steamed and served with a white truffle risotto. Illinois residents add 5% sales tax. Shake before serving. If dizziness or swelling occur, stop using the Ron Van Dam Show immediately. Proper ID is required, no cover charge after 10 p.m. Moo! Listening to the Ron Van Dam Show may require you to lift objects weighing 15 pounds or more. Please remain seated until the Ron Van Dam Show comes to a complete stop.
You like my singing ability? I can't sing. cannot sing, ladies and gentlemen. I can't dance, I can't sing, I can't move around real well. I mean, I can move around, but I don't look good doing it. So I stay seated a lot. I think the first rule of success is knowing who you are, and knowing what you do well, and knowing what you don't do well. And the things you do well, do them. The things you don't do well, don't do those things. So I end up doing nothing whatsoever. Hey, if you'd like to reach me for any reason whatsoever, I also do dog walking. Actually, I don't. I can walk like a dog if you'd like me to, but I tend not to want to do that. You can reach me on the international highway of internets. I did buy Hillary Clinton's old server, and it works well. Just got to kind of be careful what I do with it. You can contact me at ronvandam@gmail.com. I should have my own show, right? ronvandamshow@gmail.com is what I meant to say. That's ronvandamshow@gmail.com. ronvandam@gmail.com. If you've written a book, or perhaps you're an interesting guest, or you have something interesting to say, contact me and we'll get you on the show. Or if there's some subject matter you'd like me to, perhaps comment upon in my grumpy, astute manner, you can throw me a line right there, too. But if you have anything nasty to say, I will delete you like you wouldn't believe. I will make your head spin in deletion land. I also have a Facebook page which serves me nothing whatsoever. I make no money off of it. I spent a lot of money to have it created, and it's yielded me absolutely nothing. So go there and look at it, if you would. New England Broadcasting, The Ron Van Dam Show. On Facebook, New England Broadcasting, The Ron Van Dam Show. I don't know why you would possibly go there, but I was told I'm supposed to say that. Not say that you're not supposed to go there, but to say that I have a Facebook page. That's Jason Shaw, who contributes to the program, musically talented-wise. Most of the music that you hear has been created by Jason Shaw. Thank you, Jason. And John Shanahan does our comedy and our announcements, and Julie joins him, and Nicolette, the British babe in the beginning, and other people, and thank you so much, and goodbye, and have a nice day. Okay. I am a very untrusting person. I don't trust anybody anymore. I don't. And it happened again yesterday. Examples of things are just thrown in my face on a daily basis. Every day this happens. I'm in a restaurant having a very, very nice lunch. The food was quite nice, actually. And there was a female server, a waitress, I guess you might call that. That was the name they had before. And this waitress, I'll call her a waitress, what the hell, she comes up to the table and she says, are you ready to order? And I said, I guess so. She said, well, let me tell you about the specials first. Blah, 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 blah. And one of the specials is a steak and cheese sandwich that comes with a little side salad. And I thought, that's wonderful. Sounds perfect. Because you can't get a good steak and cheese everywhere. You need real steak, just freshly cut up, not shaved steak that sits in a refrigerator for 3, 4, 5, 6 days, 10, 12, 11, 12 years. But she said it's freshly, it's a fresh steak, freshly shaved, and on a ciabatta roll, or I don't know what the hell it's called. And I said, yes, sounds good. She said, it comes with onions and peppers. I said, yes, load them up, baby. And she looks at me and she says, excellent choice, excellent choice. That's what I have when I have lunch here. And I thought, oh, the experts have lunch here. The expert waitresses know what's good here. So, okay, good. I'm very psyched about this. I'm very psyched. And I'm sitting there and I'm waiting for my food. And the waitress, she goes to the next table over, which is not too far away from my table. It's like the next table. And she walks up to the, there's a lovely couple there. And she's talking to them, and she says, I want to tell you about our specials. We have steak and cheese, and we have a little fish on top of a piece of rice, and everything's wonderful with that. And the couple looks at her and says, no, I think we'll both have the clam chowder. And the waitress actually says to them, the clam chowder, excellent choice. That's what I have when I eat here. It's wonderful. And I thought, you little bitch. I thought the steak and cheese is what you have all the time here. You lied to me. You played me. You're playing me for the tip. You're making me feel excited about something that you never had here before, probably. I bet you go to every table, and no matter what they order, no matter what it is, you say, oh, that's an excellent choice. I love that here. I wouldn't be surprised if she comes up to the table and says, would you like something to drink? No, I'll just have a glass of water. Excellent choice. The water here is fantastic. I drink it here every day. Excellent choice, the water. Good water here. Excellent choice. You lying little woman. And then she got my goat a little later on, and I don't know what that phrase, got my goat. I did not go into the restaurant with a goat, by the way. The goat and I broke up a while ago because the goat was fooling around with another goat. But she gets my goat. She brings me the steak and cheese, and I must admit, it's an enjoyable young sandwich. But I think she was like just around the corner watching me eat it. And as soon as she saw that my mouth was full of the food, she runs over and says, how's your lunch? I can't answer you. Did you wait until my mouth was full before you came over to say, because I've been sitting here and my mouth has not been full every second and you didn't come over. But the one time that I take a gigantic bite out of this sandwich, you show up and you ask me how it is. She's annoying me, but not on purpose. She thinks she's doing her job. Now, I could be a smartass, which I am, but I don't actually verbalize my smartassing. When she says, how is that sandwich? I should have said, well, you should know it's your favorite sandwich that you eat every day. But I didn't. I still tipped her well because she had big tits. No, that's not why I tip completely. It enters into the equation. No, I don't care about that stuff. Why would I care? What does that have to do with taking an order and serving me food? Absolutely nothing. As much as you would think it would be. Anyway, no, I don't, that sounds horrible. And I just said that as a joke. Sort of. Anyway, I don't trust anybody anymore because everybody lies to me. Every day somebody is lying to me. Every day. And on television, double. Everybody's trying to manipulate me to make me do something. Everybody. Because that's business. And it's also human nature. We manipulate each other all the time. We tell each other things that aren't the case. If you want to impress somebody, if you want them to like you, what's the first thing you say? Oh, you look great today. Did you lose weight? You didn't lose weight. They're fat slobs. You know they are. They look horrible. But you say something nice because you're manipulating them. That's what we all do. Very few people are totally honest. Very few. I don't even know who they are. Even priests, the most honest people in the world, the direct children of God, immaculately placed on an altar to tell you what's good and what's bad and how to control your lives and how to have a better life so that you can go to the kingdom of heaven. Well, I don't have to tell you that some of those priests didn't exactly follow their own advice. kind of took advantage of some kids and some young adults. So even there, and that's where I started saying to myself, you know, maybe things aren't really the way that they appear. Maybe you can't really trust anybody anymore. Even on television. I mean, what they're trying to get me to buy something. You're trying to manipulate me to make me buy your stuff. There's this pan. You've seen it on television, on the commercials. Sometimes they're half-hour infomercials. There's this pan. It's like tan brown colored. And it doesn't scratch. Nothing sticks to it. You don't need to put any oil or any butter in it, and nothing sticks whatsoever. Even burned things just slide right out of it. Why, you can take this pan, put it in your driveway, and run your car over it. And that's very handy, because I can't tell you how many times I've pulled into my driveway and smashed pans. I mean, yeah, I have kitchen pans and cookware scattered all over my driveway. I don't know why, but it's there, and I can't tell you how many times I've run over a saucepan. By mistake, not on purpose. They're very hard to see. So, who can see a saucepan or a frying pan lying in the driveway? You run over it with your car, you can't see those things. So in the commercial, they tell me all this stuff, and I bought one of these pans, and things do stick to it. It is easy to clean, granted, but as far as all the grease and all the burnt stuff just sliding out, no, it doesn't. I've taken a fork to scramble eggs in the pan, because they tell you in the commercial that you can do it, and they show you in the commercial. You just crack an egg, you put it in our pan, you can take your metal scraping fork, and you can scramble it right in the pan as it's cooking with a metal object. I did that. It scratched the pan. I haven't put the pan in the driveway yet to run over it, because I can't imagine my neighbors looking out their window and seeing Van Damme back over a frying pan on purpose. It just sits wrong with me. But everything that they said in that commercial, for me, was not the case. There's another commercial for a pillow. You've seen this thing, I guarantee. I don't know what's inside that freaking thing, but apparently when you lie on the pillow, it gives you a cooling effect. It's molded exactly to your head without them knowing what size head you have. It's guaranteed for 5 years. I don't know why, but it is. It'll give you the best night's sleep ever. I ordered one of these pillows. For the first week, I slept like a baby. Babies don't sleep well necessarily. They scream, they have gas, they have to get up and pee in your face every 3 hours. Sleeping like a baby is kind of not a great expression. Sleeping like a dead person, that would be quite restful. Babies are not really, they don't sleep that long, and they don't sleep that soundly. They toss and turn, and they're annoying little shits. So let's change that expression immediately. But I slept very well for the first week. After that, not so much. Not so much. I didn't return any of these items because, to be honest with you, I'm lazy. And that's what they bank upon. They can put out the lousiest product. Oh, by the way, a lot of people like the pillow thing. A lot of people like the pan thing. I didn't, but a lot of people do. That's fine. I'm not downing these things. I'm just saying, beware. Just don't take everything at face value, especially the TV commercial things. Just beware. Can't tell you how many times I get a phone call at 8 o'clock at night in my home. And sometimes and they're all telephone solicitations, all of them. Sometimes I'll pick it up just for fun to play with them. I'm a very, very lucky person because for some reason, on a weekly basis, I'm the only one picked out of the entire country with a free trip to Las Vegas. Yeah, I am lucky that way. Now, I can go down to the convenience store and buy 50,000 scratch tickets, and I'll lose every single one of them. I win nothing. But once a week, I win a trip to Vegas. Yes, I beat you all out, right? Do you think there's anybody that picks up the phone and says, hello, and says, yes, congratulations, Mrs. Robinson. You've been selected. You have won a free trip to Vegas.
Out of the entire country, I was picked again.
Yes, you have been.
Oh, wonderful.
Who actually believes this stuff? Is there anybody that actually... Yes, there are. And that's what they bank upon. Free trip to Vegas, my ass. And that's what these television commercials bank upon. The stuff doesn't work. You have to take the effort to return it. A lot of people are not that aggressive, and they just don't ever return the thing that doesn't work, or they live with what they have. And that's what these companies bank upon. If we sell 100,000 of them, and they're all pieces of crap, we know that, three-quarters of the people will not return the stuff. They'll just keep it, and we keep the money, and it's all said and done, and we're putting out crap, and they're paying for it. Yeah, that's the way it works, unfortunately. So this is just a buyer beware thing. You know, I'm just trying to keep you smarter than they are, because they are out to get you. I'm still getting phone calls from Microsoft. Microsoft doesn't call people. But I will get a phone call from a person from another country, by the way, and I'm not being racist here, I'm really not, but if I get a phone call and the person has an accent that is so thick that I don't even know who they are, they could be from another planet, I can't deal with them. I will only deal over the phone if I deal at all, and I never do, with clear-speaking American people that I can understand. And they don't have to be American. They can be, but I need to understand everything you're saying. So I get this call from this person with a foreign accent that I can hardly understand. And they say, your computer is diseased. We've been informed by Microsoft. We're with Windows. And give us your code. We'll get into your computer and we'll fix your disease. Is there anybody on the planet that says, oh, okay, here's my password, go into my machine and fix it? Yes, there are. Yes, there are people who do agree to that. And I know that my listeners are a lot smarter than that. But your seniors, your grandparents, your little children, some of your young adults, they may not be smart enough. You've got to warn them. The world is out to get you. Now, I know I'm sounding paranoid, but you've got to start on that level. You cannot trust everybody that crosses your path, that wants to sell you something, that wants to offer you something. You can't do it anymore. Because everybody lies to everybody every day. I hope that I've helped you in some small, ridiculous manner. I mean, perhaps I'm just a grumpy guy. I'm just totally grumpy, but I don't think so.
You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show, the podcast world's version of painful itching and swelling. You know they sell a cream for that, right? It's over the counter. Works really well. I've had to use it a lot.
Hi, Arlie. How are you?
Hi, I'm good, Ron.
Excellent. Glad to speak to you. Arlie Russell Hochschild is an author, and this is an incredible book, Strangers in Their Own Land, Anger and Mourning on the American Right. And I don't know, this book is so topical. Did you write it yesterday?
I know, feels like it, but no, it was 5 years ago.
Really? Oh my God.
So I started the research for it. It just came out in September. But,
okay. Still, yeah. you're clairvoyant or something. I don't know what it is.
Because
somehow you've captured the temperature of this country, and you somehow knew that this was going to be interesting time period, I suppose, is the best way you can put it. Tell us exactly what this book covers. It's about a wonderment that I have to some extent too, is that I don't understand other people and what goes through their head when it comes to certain things. I guess that's the general topic here, but it's more specific, certainly.
Right. Well, 5 years ago, I was already sensing a great and hardening split in this country between left and right. And I realized that I live in Berkeley, California. Mm-hmm. I teach sociology, that I was in a political bubble on the left. And that it was a geographic bubble, it was a media bubble, electronic bubble. And I realized I wanted to get out and go find a bubble that's as far right as my bubble was left.
Yes.
And to take my moral and political alarm system off and really permit myself to get curious, to climb into the shoes mm-hmm. of people whose worldview I did not understand.
Right.
You know, I kind of came at it with this red state paradox. What I was scratching my head, how could it be
yes.
that the red states, you know, the poorest states with the most troubled education, worse health, and states that took more money in aid from the federal government mm-hmm. than they gave to it in tax money, were the most against the federal government.
Correct.
And what it did. So I couldn't get it. Why was that? If you have some problems, wouldn't you want some help? So I went to a place that was an enclave, very far right, and that was Louisiana.
Mm-hmm. Pretty
and
good.
How did I pick that?
Well, it's obvious. as far as I'm concerned, that's fairly obvious. Okay.
Yeah. The right was growing in the South the most,
certainly.
And Louisiana was the super South.
Yes.
So that's where I went to talk among.
Before we get into that, because somehow, again, you've somehow made this subject matter like smack in the middle of a lot of people's existence, actually. But let's go back further. Do you believe, like I think I do, that when President Obama first took office 8 years ago, that was the start of some type of deep-rooted resentment that hadn't surfaced, but it started growing? And I'm talking about...
I
think it was somewhat of a racial divide that may have kicked that off too, and not a political one.
Yes. I think this is about race, but not only mm-hmm. race. And it's about a whole whole sense of loss. But I think you're right, yes. And I talk to people, altogether 60 people over 5 years, 40 of whom were very ardent Tea Party advocates who eventually were enthusiastic Trump supporters.
Yes.
And they said that when Obama was elected, they went into mourning.
Yeah.
This just seemed terrible.
Yeah.
But it wasn't because he was black per se.
Mm-hmm.
It was because they imagined that he would only help other black people.
I see.
Right? And that it would leave them out.
And that,
they couldn't imagine that he would be the president for everyone.
But isn't that what discrimination, racial divide actually is with white people, is that as soon as the other side becomes popular, it means that you are going to be now put to the side because you become a minority, so therefore you don't get the attention anymore. Now it's somebody else's world.
That's right, that it's either or.
Yeah. All right.
And actually,
Go on.
I found a way of saying just that.
Yes.
You know, after talking to people a lot, really getting to know them, and asking, you know, could I see where you went to school, where you were born, where your parents were buried, really kind of trying to get to know them, and listening for a long time, I came up with something called the deep story. And under your politics, left or right, we have this deep story. So what's it that expresses what you're talking about? So what is a deep story? It's a story that feels true. You take facts out of it.
Yes.
You take moral judgments out of it. It's just what feels true.
Yes.
And in the right-wing deep story, you're standing in line for the American dream, as in a pilgrimage, you know, facing up the hill.
Okay.
And your feet are tired. The line hasn't moved. You're just waiting. And you feel a great sense of deserving. You've played by the rules. You've worked hard. And you're waiting. And then come some line cutters in this right-wing deep story. It's what it feels like.
Gotcha.
Who would they be? They would be blacks.
Gotcha.
Who now have access through affirmative action to jobs that used to be reserved for whites.
Mm-hmm.
They would be women who now have access through affirmative action to jobs reserved for men and immigrants and so on. And then they see the president, who should be impartially guarding the line, waving to the line cutters.
I see.
You know? And so then they think, whoa, he's their president, you know, the line cutters, and not ours. And it's pushing us back, and we're strangers in our own land.
And the idea in this specific case was that Hillary Clinton would have been a continuation of that same theory.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right. So in your book, and people will have to read it to get into the brass knuckles of what your conversations and revelations actually were, but after reading the book, do you find that most people are a little bit more relieved and not as angry or confused as they were before they understood the other side?
Yes. I don't think reading this book demobilizes people, but I have gotten a lot of email where people say, okay, now it's not just as crazy as I thought it was.
If only Trump would read your book, we might have a chance. I hope he does.
I don't think so.
No, because he can't read. So, all right, I'm sorry. That was not fair. That was not fair. I have the same exact same curiosity that you had when you were writing this book, and I wish I could be there when you were having these conversations. I have tried to have them because I'm a radio talk show host, and I've always tried to understand the other side. But for me, it becomes frustration in the sense that, to me, the word ignorance starts to come into play. Did you find that to be the case when you started scratching the surface? Did you think that it was because the people who don't see it the way I see it are ignorant and not as aware of things as I am?
Put it this way, I found that they knew a lot, but lived within a different truth. That is the source of information that they relied on and trusted was based on right-wing media.
Right.
And these are a highly informed, know, and people who are capable of nuance and ambivalence, but who were... Who didn't have access to what I felt were legitimate sources of information,
and thus my if I have anger, it's still that, because at this point now the main focus is that all news is fake according to the new commander in chief, and that seems to be a manipulation that carries out what this original thesis was. Only believe what I tell you and nothing else. And that kind of scares me. The attack on the media scares me because that to me is hitting the meat in an unfair fashion.
Yes, I share that apprehension.
Yeah.
I share it.
Okay. Well, the book is there for everybody to read. But you feel better about this as what you've gone through in your research, you have more of an understanding, and that makes you feel better, you say?
It prepares me better.
Okay.
Here's where I end up after this journey.
Uh-huh. Good.
I feel like some people who are good people and smart people but who are soaked in a different way of seeing the world, a different source of truth, and who have felt elated at Trump's rise to power, felt that there was another answer to their needs.
I get it.
This
I get
is, that. I mean, like the Democratic Party didn't offer them either a recognition. Look, I know you're economically stalled.
Right.
I know you're afraid of automation and offshoring and think that your class and your family are going to decline.
Yes.
You may have done all right, but tomorrow's another day. You're afraid. I understand that. We've got a program that addresses your fears and even addresses your mourning. You're feeling a lot of loss. And when Hillary Clinton got up there, if you work hard, you can get there. She didn't speak to that sense of dislocation.
Correct.
So looking forward, I am clear that the Democratic Party or some party needs to provide an alternative, a better alternative, far better alternative.
Amen.
To Donald Trump.
Amen. Well said. Well said. Do you feel through conversations that that those on the right that you spoke to would, if things went awry and things were more divided and their man was not the man that perhaps they thought they were, would they still support because that was their choice, or would they start to also shift more toward the center and say, look, you're not, this isn't what I bargained for?
You know, if people on the liberal side stopped insulting and disparaging blue-collar whites and said, okay, look, let's talk. Let's see if we can, we're different, but let's see if we can find common ground. And you gave them another candidate, a lot of them, I think, would go for another candidate.
I agree.
And the people, I've just gotten back from Louisiana, and I revisited the main people in this book. Trump wasn't the first choice of any of them.
Yeah.
And the first thing they'll say is, gosh, he's self-centered, or he's one woman who voted for him said, well, he talks first and acts later.
Correct.
That's not good in a leader.
Right.
So none of them, well, almost none of them, kind of embraced him, but they didn't see an alternative. And he did offer a kind of a legitimacy and recognition they were yearning for.
Yeah, and also the snake oil worked, divide and conquer. That's, in my estimation, what actually happened there as a very shrewd business move. Okay, but that's me, and I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about Strangers in Their Own Land, Anger and Mourning on the American Right. It's available everywhere. Is there a website that we can follow and discuss?
Amazon will tell you,
right.
And the University of California, Berkeley Sociology Department can tell you about me. I have a website there.
Very good. Strangers in Their Own Land. What could be more topical? Nothing. Thank you so much, Arlie, for your time this morning.
Yeah, wonderful to talk to you, Ron.
Take care. Bye-bye.
You too.
Interesting stuff. That is so, so cool. So cool. Hey, I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new program. I hope you join me then. I'm trusting that you will. Because we have a relationship, you and I, don't we? I think we do now. I mean, it's not a close one. Don't get me wrong. It's not a close relationship. It's a very respectful, distant relationship that we have. Let's keep it that way. I wish you peace.